Welcome back to the weekly broadcast from Independence Baptist Church. Now this week we'll be discussing Galatians chapter 1 verses 6 through 9. So if you have your Bibles handy, please turn there now. Now the message this morning from Pastor Reynolds is titled The Old Cross and the New Cross. The difference is sometimes pretty subtle, kind of like the serpent that came to Eve in the Garden of Eden. So listen closely as Pastor Reynolds compares the Old Cross to the New Cross.
In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6 through verse 9, we read these words. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as I say before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. This is what Paul the Apostle wrote about the other gospel. This other gospel is unannounced. It is mostly undetected that's come into these times in which we live, just like it came in to these times when Paul wrote the book of Galatians. It is like the old cross, and yet there's a difference. The likenesses are superficial. The differences, however, are very fundamental. For from this new cross has sprung a new philosophy of the Christian life. And from that new philosophy has come a new evangelical technique, a new type of meeting with a new kind of preaching. This new evangelism employs the same language as the old, but its content is not the same and its emphasis is not as before. Compare, if you would, the way the gospel is preached by Christ and the way the gospel is being preached by modern evangelicals. You see, Christ would have nothing at all to do with this world. He was in the world, but the world knew him not. The Bible said, for all of the proud flesh, the old gospel means the end of the journey. It carried into effect the sentence imposed by the law of Sinai. The law made people die. But the new cross is not opposed to the human race. Rather, it is a friendly pal, and if rightly understood, it is the source of oceans of good, clean fun and innocent enjoyment. It lets Adam live without interference. His life's motivation is unchanged. He still lives for his own pleasure. Only now, he takes delight in singing religious songs and watching religious movies instead of singing bawdy songs and drinking hard liquor. You see, the emphasis is still upon enjoyment, though the fun is now on a higher plane morally, if not intellectually. You see, this new cross encourages a new and entirely different evangelistic approach. When the new gospel is preached, the evangelist does not demand separation from the old life before a new life can be received. The new evangelist preaches not contrast, but similarities. He seeks to key in the public interest by showing that Christianity makes no unpleasant demands. Rather, it offers the same thing the world does, only on a higher level. Whatever the sin-mad world happens to be clamoring after at the moment is cleverly shown to be the very thing the gospel offers. Only the religious product is much better. The new cross does not slay the sinner. The new cross does not demand a change. It simply redirects the sinner. It gears him into a cleaner and a jollier way of living, and actually saves his self-respect. To the self-asserting, the new gospel says, come and assert yourself for Christ. To the egotist, it says, come and do your boastings in the Lord. To the thrill seeker, it says, come and enjoy the thrill of Christian fellowship. You see, the Christian message is simply slanted to make it acceptable to the public. The philosophy back of this kind of thing may be sincere, but its sincerity does not save it from being wrong. It is wrong because it is blind. It misses completely the whole meaning of what the cross and what Jesus Christ has done for us. Jesus Christ has died. He shed his own blood on the cross of Calvary. And Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And he knows what we need. You see, the old cross is a symbol of death. It stands for the abrupt, violent end of a human being. A man in Roman times who took up his cross and started down the road had already said goodbye to his friends. He was not coming back. He was not going out to have his life redirected. He was going out to have it ended. The cross made no compromise. The cross modified nothing. The cross spared nothing. It slew every man. Completely and finally. It did not try to keep on good terms with this victim. It struck cruel and hard. And when the cross was finished with its work, the man was no more. This is exactly what happened to the Apostle Paul. He even changed his name because he was not the person that he used to be. You see, the human race is under the death sentence. There is no way to get around this. God cannot approve any of the fruits of sin, however innocent they may appear or beautiful they may appear to the eyes of men. God salvages the individual by liquidating him and then raising him again to newness of life. God gives this person a brand new life. The evangelism, which draws friendly parallels between the ways of God and the ways of men, is absolutely false. The Bible does not know anything about that. The faith of Christ does not parallel the world. It rather intersects that. In coming to Christ, we do not bring our old life up to a higher plane. We actually leave our old life because of the cross of Calvary. You see, a grain of wheat must fall into the ground and die in order to produce wheat. That's exactly what happens to seed. When it's planted in the ground, it dies. And a new life begins. People that preach the gospel of Christ must not think of themselves as public relations agents sent to establish goodwill between Christ and the world. We simply cannot imagine ourselves commissioned to make Christ acceptable to big business, the press, or to the world of sports or modern education. We are not diplomats. We are rather prophets of God. Our message is not a compromise, but it is rather an ultimatum. You see, God offers life, but he does not offer an improved old life. The life he offers is life out of death. The life that God offers stands always on the far side of the cross. Whoever would possess real life, the life that God gives, must pass under the rod. He must realize that there's no good about him, no good at all, and he must realize that he must trust Christ. What does this mean to the individual, the condemned man who would find life in Christ Jesus? How can this theology be translated into life? Simply put, he must repent and he must believe. He must forsake his sins and then go on to forsake himself. Let him cover nothing. Let him defend nothing. Let him excuse not one thing that he's ever done. Let him not seek to make terms with God, but let him bow his head before the stroke of God's strong displeasure and acknowledge himself worthy of death, worthy of going to a devil's hell. Having done this, let him gaze with simple trust upon the risen Savior, and from him will come life and rebirth and cleansing and power. The cross that ended the earthly life of Jesus Christ now puts an end to every sinner's life. And the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead now raises every sinner to a new life, just like it raised Jesus Christ. Now, I know that some will object to this or count it merely a narrow and private view of truth. But let me say, God has set his hallmark of approval upon this message from Paul's day and unto the present. This is why Galatians 1, verse 6 through 9 states what it says. Whether stated in these exact words or not, this has been the content of all preaching that has brought life and power to the world through the centuries. The mystics, the reformers, the revivalists have put their emphasis here, and signs and wonders and mighty operations of the Holy Spirit give witness to God's own approval. We can never change what God has said. What His Word has declared unto us is absolutely the truth. We can never change any part of the Word of God. God forbid that it be that way. We need to preach the old cross, and we ought to know the power that is in that old cross. I pray for you today that you might hear the importance of what we said, that you might adhere very closely, very keenly to these things, that you might seek for the old paths, the paths of God, and you might be found holy and righteous in His eyes.
You know, as Pastor Reynolds talked this morning, I couldn't help but think of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. In these verses, we find the apostle charging Timothy to preach the word, to be ready to reprove, to rebuke, to encourage, and to do all of it with patience. And at the same time, he told Timothy that there would come a time that the people would not be willing to listen, but would instead heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, in other words, they would find teachers that would say what made them feel better instead of pointing out what needed to be made right. And in reality, if we really care about those around us, we'll want them to hear the truth. And the truth is going to be offensive, because the truth is that mankind is sinful and doomed to an eternity in hell, unless they turn and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only way. And that can be offensive to hear that you need a Savior. But if we truly care about people, that is what we're going to want them to hear. We want them to hear the message of Christ. Now, I encourage you to log on to our website at www.independencebaptist.org and look at the many different books, articles, and audio messages if you want to learn more about this. You're also welcome to stop by and visit us in person. We'll be meeting today at 10 a.m. for Sunday school, 11 a.m. worship services, 3:45 prayer meeting, and 4:30 worship services. You can find us at 124 South Main Street, just off of Highway 70 in Forestdale, Missouri. Now, because of the time, we're going to go ahead and wrap things up this morning. And Lord willing, we'll be joining you again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.